Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be able to come unto thee and cry out unto thee, Abba, Father, and know that thou dost hear us and that thou dost love us and thou wilt provide for us. And so we look to the promises that are written in thy word, Lord, and are thankful for who thou art and know the love that thou dost have for us is great and it's wondrous, and we rely upon that. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless us throughout this day, Lord, that the power of thy word would go forth and that thy spirit would speak to us, and Lord, that we would be encouragers and help each other along our pilgrim pathway that we do find ourselves on. So bless thou this thy word to us this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel and read from chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6.
Nađeno je da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju, 6. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju, 6. glava.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men for to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the street corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we kneel before him. The book of Romans speaks of how it is that we become God's children and how it is that we are justified by our faith. And as the first few chapters of the book of Romans lays that out, we can see clearly that we are justified by our faith. And that faith is a living faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 5 of Romans, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God as we are justified by faith. We have become right with God. We have become just as if we don't have sin with God by our faith that we have in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So then in chapter 12 that we read last Sunday morning, then it speaks of what that living faith looks like in practicality. So it speaks here of how it is that we live out our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no longer the law, but it is a living faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And so this, in practical terms, this living faith is lived out in this manner. So here are some of the things that we read last Sunday morning. For I say through the grace given unto me that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This is living out our faith, that our faith has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God, our Father. It's been given to us, and so we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Our love is to be without dissimulation, without a misrepresentation. Our love ought to be true. That's living out our faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We are to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We are to be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. This is living out our faith. And this is what we are being called to, that we would live out our faith. And this is what it looks like in everyday life. Esteeming one another higher than ourselves, abhorring that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, overcoming evil with good, minding not high things, all these things. And then on Wednesday night, we read Galatians chapter 3, which also speaks to that of being justified by faith. And so one of the verses we read was, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. That's evident. We're not justified by God through the law, but the just shall live by faith, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Spirit has been promised to those who would have faith in our Lord. And as we come to that point in our lives where we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that God the Father has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come here upon this earth to be the Savior of the world. We believe that. And that belief then is there's a fulfillment of that, of a promise that the Spirit will be indwelling in us. And so we rejoice in these promises that are given unto us. And then further, later in that chapter, It says that ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise, and what a beautiful truth this is, that we can all be the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By a living faith, by a faith that proclaims Jesus Christ is Lord. Through him, all things are possible. We can, when we believe in God. And then it said further on that, as the brother meditated on that verse, therefore, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. This is living in faith, by putting on Christ. This is the practical application of a life of the son of a son and daughter of God, that we would live out our faith in this manner, glorifying him as his Spirit operates in us. And so further then this morning, as we read the middle portion of the Sermon on the Mount, we see a furtherance of that, of what it looks like to live this life of faith, a living faith, a faith that is so real to us that it comes all the way to the core of our heart, that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe on his redemption power that he has accomplished on the cross. We believe that he is God's only Son. And because of this, we live a way that is distinct from this world. It's different. The people of the world are selfish by nature. That's mankind. They're selfish. They're thinking about themselves. What's in it for me? And yet, a life of faith is completely different from that. A life of faith gives glory to God. A life of faith looks beyond those things which are seen, because they are temporal, and looks to those things which are eternal, and building up the kingdom of God. Not our own kingdom, the kingdom of God. And not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to give glory to God. And so let's consider these verses that we read this morning in that context of having a living faith in the Lord. Jesus here speaks of alms, of prayer, and of fasting. And he speaks here in the same manner for all three of these, that we would not do this for our own honor, but to the glory of God. So he begins here with alms and says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men for to be seen of them. That's not the objective, is that when we give alms that we would do it so that we would be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. There's no reward. If we're giving alms, if someone gives alms to be seen of men, there's no reward. God won't reward that. You'll have your reward of men, Jesus Christ here is saying. And so he says, therefore. And in this chapter, there's a lot of therefores and wherefore. And basically what that old English word means is that for this cause or for this reason, do this. And so Jesus Christ is our great teacher. And beyond that, but he was a great rabbi, and he's teaching us the ways of God. And so he's saying, because of this, for this reason, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. That's the selfish way of a worldly man, to have the glory of men. That's what they're looking for. It's all about this life and how we can grow and exceed in this life. But living out our faith, the Bible tells us that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But we are to be the servants of God. And so we are not to look to have the glory of men. And so Jesus Christ says, verily, they have their reward. Men will notice it, and they will give their accolades to that person. We see this in our society as well. We see it in government circles. We see it in the sports world. We see it in business. We see it in academia. Everyone's out looking to be greater than the next person. But the life of a believer, a life of one who is living out their faith, is distinctly different than that of this world. And again, it emanates from the heart, and not outwardly or not in an acting manner, but it emanates from our hearts, the living faith that we have. And so Jesus teaches us how it is that we might give alms. And he says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. We are looking to glorify the Lord. We are looking to give back what the Lord has given unto us. The Lord has given unto us everything that we have. There is nothing that we have obtained of our own selves. Everything we have has been given to us, even our faith. The Bible says that our faith has been given unto us. And so we are to glorify the Lord then in everything, because everything that we have has come from him. And so when we glorify him, and when we do what he would have us to do, he will reward us openly. So when we think of almsgiving, and we think of that time when Jesus was there near the treasury and he's watching the rich men cast in of their abundance, and perhaps they did it ostentatiously, like so that everybody could see as they were putting in their large amounts of money into the treasury, and then along came that poor widow which gave even all of her living those two mites. And Jesus took that opportunity to teach his disciples that this woman pleased the Lord because she gave even all of her living. Even all of her living. That was her alms, and she gave alms and was blessed for it. Richly blessed for it. Having lives of faith, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And so perhaps it's not every opportunity we give that we would give in such a great manner, but maybe we should be looking more and more at that opportunity that we would give, and then after we give, we simply trust. That's a life of a living faith. That's what a life of living faith looks like, that we would give, then trust, even as that poor widow woman did as well. Then he speaks of praying, and he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. That worldly, selfish way to be seen of men. Jesus says, again, same words as he used in the teaching of the alms. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We are looking for a reward that's far greater than what men can give unto us. The Bible speaks of let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Don't glory in men. Not to glory in men. For all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So we glory in the Lord and not in men, and to have reward of men. When we have reward of men, our reward from the Father is lost. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, using the same words as the teaching of the alms. And then he also says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The length of a prayer does not need to be long, but the prayer needs to be sincere. That's what's very important, is that our prayer before the Lord is sincere. The actual words that we use perhaps isn't as important if it's coming from a sincere heart. The Bible speaks of the Spirit making our prayers more perfect, and our groanings, which cannot be uttered, are made known to the Father. But it's a sincere heart that we would come before the Lord, acknowledging him as Lord and God, and acknowledging also our unworthiness and our great, great dependence that we have on him. This is the manner of our prayers. And then he speaks here further, be not ye therefore, again, for this reason, don't be like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. A distinct difference between what a worldly, selfish person would be like, and a life of living in faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice the words Jesus used here. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't be like them. Be distinct, be different, because you have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives the model prayer here and teaches us that we are to glorify God, we are to hallow him, we ask that his kingdom would come, we ask that his kingdom would be in our hearts, and that His will would be done in our lives. We acknowledge our dependence on Him, that we are looking to Him for our daily sustenance in all things. You know, the life that we live in now, the culture that we have and all of that, we're not so dependent on clothing and meals or shelter or those types of things. But it was not always so throughout the history of mankind. That was not always so. And yet, so sometimes when we take these things for granted, our faith is lacking. And we just simply have to acknowledge that. We sometimes have such stable lives that we just expect the same tomorrow as it was yesterday. But we need to acknowledge from the Lord and bring out to Him that we are thankful for what He has given unto us, and we continue to rely upon Him. When situations change, we are still relying on Him in all things and not upon ourselves. And then He speaks here of forgiveness and forgiving others, their trespasses. And so He also then, after He concludes this prayer, He says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. And we do things that would grieve other people. And other people do things that grieve us. But here the Bible is teaching us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is teaching us that forgiveness is fundamental to Christianity. Forgiveness is fundamental to Christianity. We are to have a forgiving heart, because our Father has forgiven us much more than we would ever have to forgive anyone else. And we want His continued forgiveness in our lives. And so to do that, we are to forgive others, men, their trespasses, so that our Heavenly Father will also forgive us our trespasses. And just as it was when He taught about alms and prayers, He teaches also here about fasting. And He says, "Don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." Again, a worldly, selfish man is looking for the praise of men. That's what he's looking for. And so he goes through this effort to make it look, perhaps he's fasting, but he's making it look worse than the effort he's putting in. And so Jesus Christ again says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And then he teaches us, "But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Again, the same teaching, the same method. When we have a living faith, a faith that is trusting in Him, we're not exalting ourselves. We're preferring one another in honor. We're resisting evil. We're not looking to attract attention to ourselves. That's a living faith. We're not looking to attract attention to ourselves. We are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father. That's what a living faith looks like. Pointing to Him continuously and doing these good things that He would have us to do, and being a blessing to others. Then He speaks a little bit different, and He goes on to other things, and He's saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The things of this world, we know. We are fully persuaded that they're going to come to naught. All of the things that we see, all the things that have high value, one day it's all going to burn. We know that. It's all going to burn. But our treasure should be in heavenly things, in things that are beyond the grave, looking to glorify God and to praise His name for the things that He has done for us. And so we are to lay up our treasures in heaven. We are reminded of the time that the man came to Jesus and said unto Him, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And we know the dialogue, and Jesus says to him then afterwards and at the end, and he says, if thou wilt be perfect, even as the end of the last chapter, it's Jesus Christ says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus told this man that came to him asking for eternal life what he must do. He says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give alms and come and follow me. And you shall have treasure in heaven. This is how we might have treasure in heaven. If we hold on to the things of this earth loosely, if they're not important to us, but if our treasure is in heaven above, then we will have that spiritual treasure, those treasures which are in heaven, and we are able to live for him, and his kingdom will be in our hearts. And none of those things that moth and rust and thieves can do will impact our treasure, which is in heaven. And so we are to be perfect in this way, that our living faith would be in our God and in him alone. He says here further that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If our sole aim is to glorify the Lord, to live for him in faith, trusting in him and in him alone, his light will come into us, and our mind will be focused upon him, and we will have that perfect peace in our lives. Just as it says in the Old Testament, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If we are looking to the Lord, if our mind's eye is looking to the Lord and to him alone, having faith in him alone, his light will come into us. The Apostle John, in his epistle, writes of the dangers of what it is that we look at. Because what we look at is what we place our mind on. And so he says here in the Scriptures, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're not looking with our physical eyes to the things of this life, but we are looking with eyes of faith. Eyes of faith, looking to that which is beyond. Looking at those things which, in essence, can't be seen. And so he's saying, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. The lust of the eye. What's coming into our eyes? Are we looking to heavenly things, or are we looking to the things of this earth? And this is a caution for us, because we live in a very materialistic society. And so he says, all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's not of living by faith. The pride of life. It says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Again, what a beautiful promise this is from the Lord. That he that does the will of God abides forever. He who puts his faith in the Lord will abide forever. We are God's children by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus, we are God's children. And therefore, we live by faith. No man can serve two masters. Jesus Christ is making that clear. We can't serve two masters. We can't please two masters having opposite perspectives. We cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon would be earthly wealth. We can't serve God and mammon. And so he goes on further, and again, this living faith, this trusting in God, that we are not to take thought for our life about what we will eat and what we will drink and what we will put on. We are not to put our faith in things of this earth or systems of this earth or governments of this earth. but we are to put our faith in God and just trust Him for all our necessities of life. Our ability is so limited. Here Jesus Christ is saying this, that we can't, if by taking thought, we can't add one cubit to our stature. We can't add height to us by our own ways, by our own powers, or by anything that we have. We can't do that. But with God, all things are possible. The Bible tells us that. And so we trust in Him. He will provide. He who has done all for us, will He not also provide for us the daily needs of life? But again, we are trusting in Him for that. If God is taking care of the field, if God is taking care of the birds, then He's also going to take care of us, because we are of greater value than those. And so He says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what the world is seeking after. Again, the things of this life, they're looking at the things which are temporal and not those things which are eternal. And He says, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows our needs. And then going back to verse number 8 as well, therefore be ye not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. God knows what we need. God knows what it is that we need for sustenance. He will provide these things. He who spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? If God spared not His Son, but gave His Son to us, shall He not also give us all things? And so we're trusting in Him. We're trusting in Him. And we're living that life of faith. So He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the ways of God. Seek God first. And everything that we have need of, that'll all be provided to us by God. And we have to believe that and trust in that. And just simply seek out God and His ways and His righteousness. The righteousness the Bible speaks of, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And He robes us then with His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are to live day by day, trusting in Him. And again, we can have that perfect peace in us, because day by day, we're simply giving it all to the Lord. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. None of us know that. But we're trusting in God each and every day. And we know that there's evil that is in this world. It was from the time of Adam and Eve till through today, and even in Christ's time. And so He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're dealing with tribulation. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus Christ says. We're dealing with evil. But again, as we read last Sunday morning, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we are to live out this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. This is what living in faith is like. We have to challenge ourselves as well. We heard God's word last week. We heard God's word Wednesday night. Living by faith. How is it that we performed on that which we were called to do? Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Was there a time perhaps this past week where we thought of ourselves perhaps a little higher than we should have? Did we resist evil? Did we abhor evil? Did we appreciate others and hold them in high esteem? This is what living in faith is like. And so Jesus Christ concludes this Sermon on the Mount by saying these words. Therefore, for these reasons, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, it's a living faith. We live it out. We live out our faith. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Wise man, building upon a faith in Jesus Christ, the rock. And then the evil comes. The rains descend, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Evil comes. But our faith in Jesus Christ will see us through these things. And it fell not. Our house of faith will not fall when we are building upon the rock of Jesus Christ, when we are doing what our faith would have us to do. For it was founded upon a rock. We don't have a faith that's in something obscure. We don't have a faith in something that's unstable. We don't have a faith that is in something that has some strength but not all strength. We have a faith in a God who can do all things. He spoke the worlds into place. He created each and every one of us. He knows us. He loves us. He sent his only begotten Son for us. We have a faith in a God who can do all things. Let us go in that faith, and let us live out that faith, and may he bless our lives accordingly. Amen.